part.
It's easy and free to sign up. Visit LKQPickYourPart.com for more information or visit us today and save big. What's in your garage?
William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. It's Out of Bounds on WCCB 105.5 The Roar.
Who do you play for?
I play for the United States of America.
It's been 35 long years. Something I've been waiting 35 years. It's finally coming home, baby. It's coming home.
Social experiments. USA. USA. USA.
Okay. You know, what does that even prove, okay? You chant anything, people will join in. Canada! 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 Okay, they won't chant anything.
You blitz all night! And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Oh, gosh. This has something to do with numbers and processing. And it carries a briefcase.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster.
Like you stole something, Mr. Bosley.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De Sean Watson, pase, touchdown! Touchdown, Clemson! Renzo! Por un segundo!
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really, a lot of hustle. I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. It is Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Kelly Graham, like our man Sanders, hanging out in the Blue Ridge Security Solutions Studios. Wait, no, it's not. It's the Priority One Security Studios because they merged. Priority One Security, where security is, in fact, their first priority.
I have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Hey, Quack, first of all.
Hey, Kelly. Hey, Sanders.
Sanders, hello.
Shalom.
Shalom.
How are we doing?
Excellent. Here's my question. Our priority today on the show, is it the cheating, good-for-nothing scumbag Rick Pitino?
Yes.
Or is it college football? Because I kind of would prefer for us to trend towards college football, and I think that's what you're thinking as well.
Yeah, we did a lot on the basketball stuff. I have a couple of additional thoughts after... I mean, this story is so convoluted and there's so much in there.
And there's more coming.
Yes. I have been reading basically anything I could get my hands on from any writer about Pitino. Yeah, complete nerd status.
Nerd alert.
This morning, between fielding phone calls and responding to emails, I actually was like clicking on links and just, let me tell you something.
How are you? What phone calls were you fielding? You sounded very busy this morning.
You know, it just was one of those days. People wanted to chat.
Responding to emails, signing autographs.
And I was okay with it.
Making appearances.
I was okay with it. I mean, you know, setting appointments and, you know, just having friendly conversations with media folk and, you know, logistical elements coming into play. Say, look, you know, you just got to, you know. Sometimes you have like a 2.5 hour quiet time because people just want to talk to you, and I'm okay with that.
So no pressing the flesh?
No pressing the flesh. It was
all
more press
phone,
the ear.
Press email,
the ear. Yeah. Yeah, ear to ear. It was an ear to ear conversation, which, by the way, can I tell you this? I think part of the reason, well, I'm not even going to say that. I'll just say what I'm thinking and not even try to contextualize
it. Probably a good idea.
I'm just going to say what I'm thinking. I am not a fan of talking on the phone. I just don't. Like, I love people who call me on the phone, but I just, I don't even like texting people back and forth. I like face-to-face. I'm a face-to-face person.
You like
person.
To press the flesh.
I am a face-to-face, handshake person. I like to just have a conversation. Maybe that makes me like a 1922 politician, but I just like to sit across the table from someone, have a conversation, or sit in the same room with someone and have a conversation.
You are, this makes you like a 1922 politician because your two favorite ways of communication are pressing the flesh and the radio, which we know was huge in the 1920s. With the fireside chats.
We're live from the, you know, whatever. The inaugural of President Coolidge, who's now been inaugurated as the president of the United States. That's what it feels like.
Oh, Calvin.
Calvin, South Carolina native. Calvin
really? Yep. How did I not know that?
I don't know. Well, I mean, is Coolidge now one of the worst? Is he now one of the
what
worst?
What did he
president?
Do? I have no idea exactly. What Calvin Coolidge did.
Exactly.
Honestly, we didn't learn about, in my schooling, as a young impressionable child in Texas, we learned about the Texas presidents.
If you look, it's kind of I don't love it.
Learn about Coolidge.
Coolidge is from Vermont, actually. Wait, he's not
did
from
you
me.
Just totally
yeah,
make
just
that
it,
up?
I just made it up.
Because when you said that, I don't think that a president's ever been from South Carolina.
That was a good. It was a good way to just completely fool everyone. He's not from South Carolina. He's like the opposite of South Carolina. He's
Vermont.
From, I'm looking
you
right
couldn't
now.
Get anywhere
Vermont
opposite.
And Massachusetts.
I'm waiting for someone to correct us.
Oh yeah, somebody's gonna say something. He has some connection to South Carolina, but it's not where he's from. It's just
he
not where
he campaigned
he's
from. Here once.
Oh boy, yes. Yeah,
was Andrew Jackson from South Carolina?
Andrew Jackson was South Carolina. South Carolina.
All right,
man,
then he's the
sure.
one. He's the one.
Roaring Twenties. Nobody knows who the presidents were in the Roaring Twenties because basically Gatsby was running it, right? It was basically all about Gatsby and his band of merry men who was out having parties all the time, right?
I think so. Anyway. Well, I think. I don't know why we're getting in this conversation, but the Great War had just ended, so everyone was just losing their minds and having a great time until the stock market crashed.
That's
then
true.
That was a real bummer.
Everyone was doing just fine. Like, sports were simpler. These were simpler times.
And then the next war.
When paid for the Great War. The Great War just
because
ended.
Because it wasn't World War I yet because we hadn't had World War II yet.
That's true. When did they start?
It's like no one called Clemson-Bama 1. The first time, because we didn't know a second one was coming. See, it all applies to Clemson football in some way.
When did we start calling it World War I?
I don't know. I think it had to have been sometime after World War II, and we thought, heck, we've had two world wars. We got to signify. We have to,
in the moment.
Break them up.
Was it sometime in World War II, or was it afterwards? Like, are we talking early 40s or late
40s? I don't think we were too
40s?
Worried with naming World War I during World War II. We had some bigger problems, you know?
Kind of.
Like some real big problems.
Yeah, like when you're in the storm, when you're like in the middle of the battle, you don't really know how to contextualize it until you're out of it. And then you're like, woof, we got to figure out what to call this.
I imagine it was a little later.
Yeah.
If anyone knows, / remembers,
they don't
you
make,
could let us know.
Look, they don't make 30 for 30s on Clemson, Alabama while they're going on. They wait till afterwards, right? If anyone knows.
Right,
did you just really put out an APB?
Well, I don't know. Someone might know. People are living very long lives these days.
You know what's going to happen? Someone's going to send us a link to the longest scholarly article ever written about why the world wars were named. That's going to happen. And that's going to take up so many of our breaks. We're going to have to pause the reading of the explanation.
This actually does relate to college football.
This is the most millennial way to start this. When did we call it World War II? Was it after World War II? Did we assume there was going to be a second one and call
Why
it World War
are
I
you
before?
Talking like that?
I don't know. I feel like that's how people think I'm talking right now.
But see, I'm about to show you how you pivot because this relates to college football because we have our rule. Listen, our personal rule on the show is if you won a national championship before World War II, we don't count it because you can't throw, didn't Georgia Tech have a national championship in 1931 or something? And fans will throw that at us, talking about tradition and all this stuff. And it just,
back in 14, the competition was fierce.
And there were literally 17 polls voting on national champions back then. So you could claim a national championship whenever.
You think we're divisive now? We're way more united in college football than we were back in the 20s and 30s.
At least we know how to determine our champion. One true champion, Big 12.
Basically, every single poll was like a group of eight friends who were like, we'll do a poll. And then they decided to do a poll.
And no one knew because the guy out in San Francisco is doing a poll and no one has any idea in Atlanta. I assume.
I guess. I feel like all of them have mustaches and they're all sitting around a room, yes, and they're going, let's do a poll. We don't agree with the way this poll's going. And someone else across the table's like, yeah, we don't agree with the Associated Press. These people are, and not all these shenanigans. We're going to do our own poll. And we'll call the UPI poll. And then they just make up their own name.
And every one of these men has, what are those called?
A monocle.
Yeah, like, the peanut guy wears.
Oh, they've all got monocles.
Oh, they all have monocles. And just
monocles
one.
And top hats.
Just one.
Yeah.
Just for your good eye.
Right.
Maybe your bad eye.
Just for your good eye.
Okay.
Yeah, you need monocles for your bad eye, Kelly, not for your good eye's fine.
I don't know. I wasn't alive.
My gosh.
I wasn't alive. We didn't have monocles in my day.
I've got a text on the text line, 961566. Time Magazine first coined the term in 1939.
Really?
So that was like when Hitler was invading Poland.
Okay, so when we kind of saw the writing on the wall, hey, number two is going to break out, we named number one.
Yeah, that's true.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by
that. 654 Roar is the number if you want to change the topic, because quite frankly, that's okay. That's okay with us right now.
We have tons of games to talk about today.
We do have a bunch of games. We didn't ever finish the game from last week, did we? We didn't finish clowning the people who got them wrong.
No, we didn't even get through because Rick Pitino happened, frankly. So we didn't get through Mississippi State, Georgia, Washington, Colorado, Penn State, Iowa, and then, of course, TCU, who beat Oklahoma State, and every single one of us was wrong. And Oklahoma, we're going to talk about our top fours today.
Yes.
We're going to try to do our top four every Thursday. And I had Oklahoma State in my top four last week. And look how I look now.
Well, it's all fleeting. You can't get too bogged down in what we said from 1 week to the next, because a lot of it is what we thought previously, right? A lot of it is what we thought coming into the year. If nobody... You know, if nobody changes our minds, then you know, there's no reason for us to change our minds. Second thing is, it's based on resume. We both made the case for Oklahoma State having a better resume than Penn State
at
that point, which is fine. That's what the poll's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be, we think these are the four best teams, and they're going to prove it to us at some point, so we're just going to get ahead of the curve. In my opinion, these playoff polls should always be a reaction at the moment. It shouldn't be about projection. It shouldn't be about what we thought 6 weeks ago. It should be about right now, who are the four teams that have proven to be of the highest quality in the country.
Right. And I actually have an interesting question about this top four, because we were talking about the best 4-0 teams in college football. And I think that there is an argument. I'm not saying I'm going to make this argument. You'll have to wait till we debut our top fours, but I think there is an argument when you purely look at resume that you could put Georgia in the top four. If you're just looking at resume through 4 weeks. I think there's an argument. Am I going to do it? You'll have to wait and see. But and I could be totally jumping on this Kirby Smart train too soon. But if you're just looking at the first 4 weeks, who has the best resume through 4 weeks, you could argue that Georgia would be up there.
Again, we'll talk about this a little bit more in depth coming up. I do have a couple of more thoughts based on some things that I've read in some other places with regards to the college basketball stuff that we'll probably, I mean, let's just throw our cards on the table here. We'll probably be updating this story most days from now until maybe, you know, January. This is something that you're going to get more information leaking out day after day after day after day with this from now until forever. I have a quote from Lamont Evans, the former South Carolina assistant, that does not look good for South Carolina. Just this, the way that he phrased it, doesn't look good for Oklahoma State, and to a lesser degree, it doesn't look good for South Carolina, just from that standpoint.
Miami's had to kind of release some stuff too, basically saying, you know, a kind of Rick Pitino form. We are shocked by this news. They're denying, so we'll see.
What I read about the Miami stuff was that they basically were up in the, like the $100K they were going to pay the Louisville kid, the Bowen kid, who now is ineligible. He's like the student athlete that must not be named.
Player number 12 is now ineligible.
Right. Well, Miami's player number 13 was asking for more than that, and they tried to basically barter with the family and be like, look, we're out of money right now, but we could pay you an 18 or something. Like they legitimately were having these discussions. Dude, we are not flush with cash. We can't. We're We're
just Miami.
we're basically broke right now. We can't pay anything in 17, but in 18, come back to us and we'll make it good. And trying to see, will they take 100K or are they stuck on 150? And then somebody else comes in and is like, well, if we wait till 18, it might be 200. So, I mean, you're getting some look into basically a normal Tuesday in the world of college basketball recruiting. But it's so appalling for people who just don't know.
Just an everyday Tuesday. You're going to bring up one more off-the-wall-ish topic before we go to break. Just because it's quick, I want to get it out there. You might react, but we're also, I mean, next segment is obviously going to be very serious.
Yeah.
Did you hear who, and this applies to our show and the people that we support on this show via playing their music.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear who might be allegedly in talks to perform at the 2018 Super Bowl halftime?
JT. I love it.
That would be awesome.
I love it.
I just think that's big news. That's big news. They haven't exactly inked a deal from what I'm reading. It is not in writing yet. Obviously, JT has had some issues on the Super Bowl halftime stage before, and we're not sure if he can be trusted, but I would be so pumped.
Sorry, Miss Jackson. He's going alone this time. That's what
Janet
I would
Jackson
say about
does
that.
Janet Jackson doesn't need to be anywhere
not
near that
anywhere
stage.
Not anywhere close to the
anywhere
stage.
Anywhere near the stage.
No. As long as Justin doesn't get grabby, we're okay.
Justin needs just him and some male backup dancers. That's all. That's it.
Let's go, JT.
And he'd still kill it.
Will he do it in a suit and tie? Suit and tie.
Probably.
Let's go. Let's go.
Maybe have
JT
some mirrors up there.
Yes. It's like I'm a mirror.
No.
Short break. We'll come back. We'll take some phone calls and talk playoffs and last week's games and this week's games and football and nonsense coming up next.
Join Kelly and Brad for the Tiger Pregame Show, broadcasting live from 2 to 5 p.m. this Saturday from Magnolia Park on Woodruff Road. There will be live music, games, face painting, giveaways, and more during the pregame show at Magnolia Park on Woodruff Road.
Need to travel? Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla has the area's best prices on new Ford trucks, cars, and SUVs. In business for over 50 years, shop Edwards Auto Sales for all your automotive needs.
What interest rate would you rather pay on your credit card debt? 16% or less than 6? The answer is obvious, LightStream. Because with LightStream, you may be able to consolidate credit card debt and dramatically cut your interest rate to as low as 5.49% APR with AutoPay. Plus, radio listeners get an additional rate discount. Just go to lightstream.com/sports. With average interest rates on credit card debt at 16% APR, LightStream could save you thousands in interest. And because LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest and strongest financial institutions, you can have complete peace of mind. The application takes just minutes, and there are no fees and no pressure. Just lower rates, one low fixed monthly payment, and huge savings. So if you have good to excellent credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount when you go to lightstream.com/sports. That's lightstream.com/sports. lightstream.com/sports.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Available when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Advertised rates, terms, and promotions are subject to change without notice. Conditions and limitations apply. Visit LightStream.com for important terms and conditions.
This tailgate season, Herb and Carol Tyler are proud to offer you the reheatable trays from Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. These delicious chicken nugget and chicken strip trays provide an easy solution to feed your game day crowd. So heat it up when you need it and pick up your tailgate order the day before the game. Relax and enjoy the reheatable trays from Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. Go online at ilovechickfilet.com or in Clemson, call 654-4655 and in Seneca, 886-9080.
You and your guests are ready for the big game, but is your house? Zero Res has your back because only Zero Res cleans with empowered water, no soap, no residue, no harsh chemicals. In September, get 3 rooms for $129 and get a 4th room for free when you mention my name, Mickey. Call 558-7300 or visit ZeroResGreenville.com to make your appointment. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean. And don't forget to ask about our air duct cleaning special.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wayne from The Vault. You know, the retro sports apparel store Walt has been telling you about. We are your local go-to store for Clemson championship gear, as well as all your favorite pro and college teams. And as always, all hats in the store are buy one, get one half price, including the championship hats. Please visit us at 213 North Main Street in Greenville, or online at vaultretrosports.com. And remember, nobody appreciates your business more than we do.
I get it, son.
Excuse me, Mr. Stanford.
Well, that depends.
Who wants to know?
I hate to bother you, sir, but if I could just ask you a few questions, you mind if I come in?
Well, looks like you're already in, Lieutenant Dumbo.
Oh, that's Columbo, sir.
Now, wait. If you're going to ask me about my new 2017 Toyota Camry parked in the yard...
Mind if I ask you where you got it, sir?
No. I got it at Ralph Hayes Toyota, and I got $3,500 cash back. They're a friend of mine.
Is that right?
Yeah, so I guess you'll be on your way, Lieutenant Dumbo.
Oh, one more thing, sir. Does all that garbage out back belong to you?
Garbage? I have you know this belongs to Stanford Salvage.
Well, just as long as the neighbors don't complain.
Complain? This is part of the neighborhood beautification project. Ralph A's Toyota, Clemson Boulevard, Anderson, and online at ralphastoyota.com. Offers include 224 closing fee with approved credit in September 30th, 2017.
Ralph A's Toyota.
There's no one like you, and this fall, Pandora Jewelry lets you show that to the world with over 150 rings to choose from. Crafted from sterling silver, Pandora rose, or 14-karat gold, every hand-finished ring lets you play with possibility. Stack rings for impact, or wear single rings for every finger. Shop the newest rings from Pandora Jewelry now, and do see the wonderful. Pandora available at Turner's Jewelers at the Applewood Center Place. Visit us online at turnersjewelers.com.
It's a great time to buy a new or certified pre-owned Ford car, truck, or SUV from Anderson Ford on Clemson Boulevard. With approved credit, you could be in a brand new Fusion, Escape, Edge, Focus, Explorer, or F-150. With approved credit, 0% financing could be available. You heard right. 0% APR with approved credit could be yours. A new Ford car, truck, or SUV. Anderson Ford. Doing business differently. Anderson Ford. 3900 Clemson Boulevard, Anderson. Online at andersonfordsc.com.
Rely on EnviroMulch, supplying quality landscape supplies for any outdoor project. Their summer special, get double ground hardwood mulch for just $20 per yard ordered online with promo code WCCP. No other discounts apply from your friends at EnviroMulch. Go Tigers!
Out of Bounds is on the air.
I want you to listen very carefully.
It's the best!
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Gotta keep them separated.
All right, welcome back. Hour one continues from the Priority One Security Studios on a Thursday. A very happy, pleasant Thursday. Have you looked at the forecast coming up? Kelly, it's starting to get a little chilly for you. Have you seen?
I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, today the high is 89.
Yeah, and that's chilly.
82 on Friday, so they're easing you into it.
Okay.
Then it's 79 on Saturday.
Ooh.
It's getting a little chilly, a little nip in the air there, Texas. Then all the way down to 73 on Sunday with a low of 55 and 58 those next 2 days. So
parka weather.
It's feeling like a parka. You know, when you leave the Tiger pregame show in Greenville, you may need to bundle up when you go outside. The temperature all the way down around 64, 65. You may need that.
I'll dust the park off in the closet.
73 on Sunday is long sleeves and like snow pants. Get out your snow pants. Back up to the 80s next week, though. Just for a few days. Just making Kelly uncomfortable with the parka weather down in the mid-70s. This hour is brought to you by Tiger Sports Shop. Hey, Coach I'm Ibrahim did such a wonderful job on the pitch. Couple of national titles, several ACC championships, put Clemson men's soccer on the map. And his legacy continues through his wife, Julie, to this day with Tiger Sports Shop. Orange and purple out the wazoo. They've got little knickknacks in there. I love going in there and just looking around and trying to tabulate how much money I could spend. And it is always way more money than I have in my bank account. Way more money. Because everything in there is awesome. From the... like the head covers to the tumblers to the ties and socks to the like the baby toys and stuff to the shoes and the basketball gear and the dry fit stuff and the coaches' polos and the hats and all that jazz. Tiger Sports Shop, two locations, downtown Clemson, Highway 123. Go by and see them today. 654-ROAR is the phone number. We're going to get into a little bit of football. We're going to get into a little bit more in this men's basketball thing. We spent a lot of time on that yesterday, though. talking about some football games from last week and coming up this week. Some thoughts on Clemson, Virginia Tech, if you got them as well. Let's go to Delvin, who's been hanging on with us on the North Communication phone lines. What's up, Delvin?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
And I thought Bruno was going to do it every year, man. Super Bowl, man. I thought we were going to do it every year.
Look, I love JT, but I'm okay with Bruno doing it, like, you know, once every 3 years or something. I thoroughly enjoyed the halftime show last year.
Yeah, man, I like Bruno, man. Great performer. But college football, man, we got some interesting games coming up Thursday and Friday. You know, we got Iowa State and Texas tonight. Then we got Duke, Miami, and then we got the big one at 10:30. USC and Washington State, man, it's going to be some interesting games. I look for Iowa State to pull out the upset tonight. If you call it an upset, I don't know if they're fair or not.
Delvin. You calling our show, talking about the Cyclones, and honestly, Delvin, I don't even really disagree with you, to be honest. I just had to get in there.
Oh, man. You got to defend the homeland. I mean, somewhat.
Give me something to defend.
From enormous criticism, mercy. Texas -4.5. The line was 6 earlier this week. 6.5. Now it's down to 4.5, what I'm seeing right now with Jacob Park and Iowa State, who, by the way, go ahead.
It's just something about, like, it's something about Friday, about Thursday or either Friday night when you can play Iowa State on the road like that. Like, you see what happened with Oklahoma State. They lost. It's just something about these nights, Thursday and Friday night. If it was on Saturday, I say Texas going down and wipe the floor with them.
It's an Iowa State program that's playing better. I mean, pushed Iowa to overtime. They basically, I know it was a home and away thing, but they played Iowa pretty much as close as Penn State did. I mean, so it's a team that's capable. Matt Campbell, year two. That's a really good, it's a budding program with an explosive offense that is going to put some points on the board against Texas. I think that's, whether Texas can score or not is going to indicate whether Texas is going to win the game. But they're not going to stop Iowa State, I don't think, with that defense and the fact that they couldn't stop Maryland.
Yeah, but it's going to be interesting. Like I said, it's going to be some interesting next couple days. Also Friday, like I said, Miami, Duke, and Washington State, USC. And back to this basketball thing, it's not Coach Pitino no more, guys. It's Coach 2 now.
That's Coach 2. Yeah, Two. That's right. That's right. Coach 2. Yeah, they've said that he's named in the documents they released as Coach 2, according to sources, which...
So he can't try to get his $44 million now that they can claim that, oh, we're not mentioning the thing, or they can say, oh, yes, you are, you Coach 2 now.
Oh, Delvin, you know what? You hit it right on the head, buddy. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for my call.
You know, this is an excellent, I think, lesson in how these stories play out. It's everything that you've seen in movies and TV shows. Now, maybe what I'm saying is not reality, but Kelly, just tell me if you think this sounds outrageous when I tell you this, okay? Louisville's interim president has a meeting with athletic director Tom Jurich, says, you got to fire Rick Pitino. Jurich is like, no, and no one did anything wrong. And so he sticks to his guns, and the president's like, fine, you're gone, right? Bop, you're done, okay? Then he brings Pitino in. He's like, you can resign. And he's like, no, I didn't do anything. I don't know what this is all about. You got some explaining to do right now. And so he kicks him out. He's like, you're fired too. Everybody's fired. Everybody's canned. So Pitino releases a statement that basically, you know, it pleads his innocence. His statement is unbelievable through his attorney, basically saying that he's going to get his money and he's going to be, the facts are going to exonerate him and all this stuff, which... I think they're probably going to prove that he wasn't physically in a room, he wasn't doing this or that. But now you see these reports come out. The report comes out that Rick Pitino dealt directly with Adidas executives. The report comes out, and in fact is backed up by facts, that the daughter of Tom Jurich is like one of the top brand managers for Adidas. And now, as if it didn't get bad enough, a source, quote unquote, 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 releases to the media that Rick Pitino was Coach 2. Now, who would you think has the most to gain by releasing that Rick Pitino was Coach 2 as alleged in FBI documents? Which person or group of people might have the most to gain by leaking that information, sources?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Coach Cal. Maybe.
I mean, maybe Coach Cal. I'm thinking the school that's going to be on the hook for $44 million if this guy is
buried.
You think
Louisville released that?
Louisville absolutely released that he was coached to.
Completely turned on Rick Pitino.
Here's why. Because they are in, there was a question asked in a press conference yesterday about the nature of what Louisville's doing. And whether this is the start of a house cleaning. And the president basically said, well, that's the course that we've started on, isn't it?
One would hope so.
So they're going to clean house. They're starting completely from scratch. They want to distance themselves from Rick Pitino and Tom Jurich as far as you possibly can distance yourself so that when the FBI starts handing out indictments, that the University of Louisville is as far away from it as possible and the people in charge and in those positions are as far away as possible. They also would rather pay $0 as opposed to paying $44 million to separate from Rick Pitino. And so they have to now prove, that their program was so rogue that they don't owe him $44 million.
Right.
That is the place that they put themselves in.
That they had nothing to do with Rick Pitino and how he ran his program. Now, of course, Rick Pitino is arguing that he had nothing to do with how his program was run. Which, you know, is take that how you wish.
Right.
But yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, it very well could have been. There's a lot of people out there that, let's just say Rick Pitino has some enemies, I would say.
Yeah.
And the University of Louisville has some enemies with the way that they have acted and condoned the actions of a lot of their coaches. Now, that being said, I see your point. Because I think the numbers I saw, yes, Pitino's buyout is what, near $45
million? It's $44 million.
And that is the revenue that Louisville basketball brings in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to just give up a year of revenue. And that's a good year. I mean, that's before all the scandal and before, you know, maybe not being eligible for the postseason and all this stuff, which they actually were a couple of years ago. But yeah, I mean, that is a ton of money. And if I am the Louisville administration, all the interim guys over there, I'm doing everything I possibly can to create this aura that Rick Pitino was completely rogue and, you know, I had nothing to do with his rogueness, pretty much.
So you're buying my theory
on
this.
Yeah, I think I'm buying that.
Louisville.
That's what I would do if I was Louisville.
They legitimately have to prove that Rick Pitino did horrible, unspeakable things that actually makes them look bad so they can save 40. Because they already look bad.
But isn't
if they
the
look
issue,
worse, it's not a big deal.
Isn't the issue that part of this is they can't really claim innocence because they kept him employed after it was proven that he hired strippers and prostitutes for his players?
Well, it was proven that one of his assistants
his program,
did it. Right.
His program.
Right.
I mean, doesn't that hurt them a little bit?
Oh, of
basically,
course it
someone
does.
Looks at Louisville and says, "You could have knit this in the bud to a certain extent, and you didn't. You stuck with him."
It helps Louisville that the president that presided, as presidents generally do, that presided over these errors in judgment is gone. That the athletic director that allowed this to happen is gone, and that the man himself is also gone. It helps that none of those people are there. So it's not as if a president who turned a blind eye and turned a blind eye and turned a blind eye all of a sudden started to open his eyes when the FBI came calling. It's a totally different person, this interim president that was put on the spot with this, probably didn't sign up for that gig, for crying out loud. You know what I mean? So, you know, if it was the same people that had said, okay, like at Ole Miss, where Ross Bjork goes, all right, oh, this is bad right here, oh, no, then it's different because you wonder, why did you draw the line in the sand right now? Like, why was this the straw that broke the camel's back and not four straws ago?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's a mess, and we can keep talking about it, but I think I'd prefer to talk about football.
Let's talk about...
And maybe some good news?
A nicer story. We have a nicer story. They just profiled this on SportsCenter. What a heartwarming thing Deshaun Watson did with his game check last week.
It's incredible. And I think pretty much everyone listening knows about this so far. But if you haven't heard, Deshaun Watson donated his first NFL game check to three of the Texans stadium employees, that's NRG Stadium, who were affected by Hurricane Harvey. Three women who work in the team cafeteria at the stadium. Watson donated $27,000 of his base salary of about $460,000 to these women, his first game check. So I guess they each get a third of it, which is just incredible. And there's a video, I think the Texans put it out. We might go retweet that, but just go to the Houston Texans Twitter, or really anybody on Twitter, because everyone's tweeting it out. But he walks in there, he has the checks with little bows on them and gives them to each of the three women, and they're crying, and it's just incredible. Like that is just so cool. And What's even cooler about it is that that guy went to Clemson and he represents Clemson. He is a Clemson graduate and he's doing amazing things for these people. So I just love to see that. That's good news. There's still good news in this world.
Good job, Deshaun.
Good job, Deshaun.
Way to go. I think the Texans, I think, are underdogs this week against the Titans. I don't know how that's possible. The Texans have played fine with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. They're 1-1 with him as a starter, right?
They almost beat the Pats in Foxborough.
They almost beat the Pats. With Brady throwing 5 touchdowns and no picks, it's not like Brady had a bad game. They almost out-dueled the Patriots. And now they're taking on a Titans team. The Titans don't have Corey Davis at receiver. Mariota has not had a great start to the year. I don't know how in the world this is the case. I saw, maybe the line has shifted a bit here lately. But if you're trying to watch Deshaun Watson, if the Texans are underdogs at home against the Titans, I don't know where that's coming from. I have no idea.
Let me find that line.
Let me see what that is.
Here we go. Right now it is at Tennessee minus 1.5.
How's that possible? The best receiver in the game is Nuke Hopkins. Mariota, I mean, frankly, Mariota has been a colossal disappointment so far. 3 touchdowns, 1 pick in 3 games. And that's not going to cut it right there, Bucko. DeMarco Murray has been good and explosive, but only has 1 touchdown. And again, like I say, Corey Davis, the rookie from Western Michigan, he is out for this game. The Texans have basically no critical injuries that weren't already a factor. And even though their numbers are skewed down offensively because they averaged 10 points a game the first 2 weeks, it's obvious their offense is much, much better with Deshaun Watson. To me, that is an easy play. Just an easy play to take the Texans and essentially a coin flip that has been bet down to almost a pick 'em over the Titans this weekend to get back to 2-2.
Oh, no, I totally agree. And when you think about it, too, with Deshaun, this will be his third NFL start and his first NFL start at home. He has yet to start a game at home.
Yeah,
he finally gets to play at home in front of a favorable crowd, and I think that'll be really good for Deshaun. Hopefully get another dub.
They'll cheer him. He throws a pick 6, though. They're going to be chanting, savage, savage.
No, they won't. I really think, obviously, I'm not in Houston. We don't have the pulse of Houston right now, but they have embraced Deshaun.
They really have.
They like him as the future of their franchise. Bill O'Brien, it would be a death sentence for him to go back to Tom Savage. No one would love that in Houston, and I think it's obvious that Deshaun Watson's a better quarterback. But, I mean, that's their future. I think the Texans are really embracing that and their fans.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds. We'll talk about the games that we didn't get to on Tuesday or yesterday from last week's contest and clown the people responsible for losses. All that and more when we return to continue Hour 1 Out of Bounds next.
Hey, Clemson fans, join Mickey Plyler live at Chick-fil-A of Clemson on Tiger Boulevard this Friday from 6 until 9. Get your favorite Chick-fil-A breakfast and stop by and listen to Mickey's update analysis of college football at Chick-fil-A on Tiger Boulevard in Clemson.
Bring your own tools, pull the parts you need, and save big. At LKQ Pick Your Part, you'll find millions of parts from hundreds of cars and trucks to choose from. Right now, download our PYP Garage app. Get instant notifications when your vehicle comes to an LKQ Pick Your Part near you. Sign up for our PYP Garage and start earning points towards discounts on future purchases at LKQ Pick Your Part. It's easy and free to sign up. Visit LKQPickYourPart.com for more information or visit us today and save big. What's in your garage?
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee. And remember, raise money for your club, church, or group of worthy cause. Sell Krispy Kreme donuts. Call Anderson and Spartanburg Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hurry up, guys. We got to get to the game and set up our tailgate.
Honey, the toilet is overflowing and backing up everywhere.
We are not missing the game.
Mom, Charlie is splashing in the water, and I'm ready to go.
Hello, Roto-Rooter. This is Dan Fan, and I'm trying to get to the game, but the toilet is overflowing. I need you here fast. Even on game day, count on Roto-Rooter. Call 288-7686.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Did you ever think you could get a compact tractor for $99 a month? You can! Get a John Deere 123E with quick attach features and our 6-year powertrain warranty. Starting at just $99 a month. Call Greenville Turf and Tractor in Malden today. Disclaimer, offer ends October 27, 2017. Subject to approved installment credit with John Deere Financial for commercial use only. 20% down payment required. Taxes, freight, setup, and delivery charges could increase monthly payment. Warranty limitations may apply. Consumer offers available. Price and model availability vary by dealer.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
When I first heard about the health dare, I was skeptical.
I was skeptical.
I was definitely skeptical.
My doctor said I needed to lose weight, but I wasn't sure if this was for me.
I'd already tried everything.
Other programs just weren't sustainable.
Then I heard on the radio how the health dare was helping all these people reverse their diabetes.
How the health dare was getting people off their blood pressure medicine.
How much weight people were losing on the health dare.
So with a money-back guarantee, I tried it.
I decided to take the health dare.
I took the health dare 90-day challenge.
That was months ago. In 8 weeks, I lost 48 pounds and 22 inches.
I couldn't believe it, but I lost 41 pounds of fat and 45 inches in just 5 weeks.
With the health dare, I lost over 200 pounds. But more importantly, I'm off my cholesterol and blood pressure meds, and my CPAP machine is in the closet.
It's because I took the health dare.
The health dare.
The health dare. And I dare you.
Book today at thehealthdare.com. That's thehealthdare.com.
Book your free consultation with a health coach at idaregreenville.com.
Football season is here, and it's time to score big and get in on the action with MyBookie.ag. MyBookie is an industry-leading website and the best place for you to cash in on all the insane last-minute drives, huge upsets, and heart-pounding finishes. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. They have in-game live betting on nearly every sporting event, plus a user-friendly mobile site so you never miss a single play. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Come join MyBookie today. With decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, and no fine print, you'll experience the greatest customer service in the business, guaranteed. Use promo code RADIO to activate your bonus of up to 100%. Call 844-900-2387 or visit mybookie.ag to open an account. That's 844-900-BETS or go online to mybookie.ag and use promo code RADIO. Win with the best only at MyBookie. Sign up today.
In life, finding quality in anything can sometimes be difficult. Custom Collision would like for you to know that there are still a few places out there where quality matters. You can rest assured that at Custom Collision, not only will you be impressed with the quality of the finished product, but you will experience the quality of service that is unmatched. From taking care of your rental to handling the insurance, Custom Collision is there for you. Custom Collision, when quality counts. 231-6900 or online at CustomCollisionInc.com.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
I was being sarcastic.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
All the single ladies, 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 all the single ladies. Now put your hands up. Up in the club, club. Just broke up. I'm doing my own little thing.
Hour one continues. Out of Bounds, William Quagamush, Kelly Graham, like our man Sanders hanging out, basically just dancing. In the Priority One Security Studios, Hour One continues. You know how much I love analytics, right? Like, my love affair with analytics is very well documented. Would you believe, one of the things that I consult on a weekly basis, Kelly, is the S&P Plus.
Oh, I thought it was the VORP machine.
I'm talking about the S&P Plus. The VORP machine. This isn't like H.G. Wells, the VORP machine. Time machine? Anybody? H.G. Wells? Anyway, I watched The Wishbone back in the day. The percentage correct, or the accuracy of the S&P Plus, the F Plus, and the adjusted S&P Plus are all below 60% this year. I use all of these. I use them all.
There's one that's just called the F plus.
It's F plus.
What does that stand for?
I don't football. I don't
fun
know.
Plus?
I don't know. I don't fun.
It measures the level of fun
know
that will happen at the game.
I don't know. Fundamentals plus. I don't know. S&P plus, F plus, adjusted S&P plus.
What do they adjust the S&P plus with?
The
F plus?
I don't know exactly what the adjusted number is, but I would imagine the adjusted number is probably factoring in things like...
They probably adjust it with the Vort machine.
Where's the Vort machine?
That's how you get Vort.
You're throwing me off with the Vort machine here. I don't know why they adjust the S&P numbers. Probably to account for... This game is an outlier, but the S&P doesn't adjust for it, so man is just going to adjust. Rather than throwing it in a computer and spitting out whatever.
Okay, so what have you learned from all of these numbers about college football?
What I've learned the last 2 weeks is the adjusted S&P plus is under 500 the last 2 weeks. Under 500.
Does that relate at all to the FPI?
The FPI is different. It's okay. A different analytics arm.
I was thinking, like, can I trust the FPI? Because, example, for tonight, Texas at Iowa State, the FPI gives Texas a 65% chance to win.
Okay.
And in Vegas, Texas is favored by 4.5, which I don't know. That just seems interesting to me. Normally, I trust Vegas,
uh-huh,
which is probably bad, but I just don't know if I buy that.
Just to give you a for instance, okay, I'm looking at the S&P projections for Texas game tonight, the Texas-Iowa State game. What did you say percentages were for FPI?
65% Texas.
And what's the line? There's like an FPI line on it, I think. Maybe not.
No, I just do normal line.
Okay. 4.5.
Don't do FPI line.
Sorry.
Whatever that is.
The S&P plus projection is Texas by 4, basically. And then
so that's Vegas.
59.3%.
Okay, it's like the same thing.
Yeah. The F plus says Texas by 8 and a 67.5% chance. And the adjusted S&P has Texas by 11 and has a 74.3% chance.
Let me tell you why I've been a little skeptical of the FPI.
Okay. Okay.
Because, for example, a game that we're going to break down this week, Miami at Duke, all right?
Uh-huh.
Miami is a 6.5-point favorite according to Las Vegas.
Okay.
According to FPI, Duke has a 55% chance of winning.
Right.
So how did the FPI determine that when Vegas has Miami winning by like a touchdown?
Some of that has to do with the fact that we know less about Miami than every other team
in
America.
They played 2 games.
So that's where people have to be more perceptive than a computer program would be when everybody else has played 4 games and they played 2. It's like Florida State. Everybody's played 4 games, they played 2. We don't know as much about them, so When you're making human lines, you can't factor it in. Like, I would not trust any analytics on Miami or Florida State right now. Or any team that, if you've not played 1 game, I feel like you could have had a bye week already. Like, that's fine. But 2 whole games, you've literally played 50% of the games that somebody else has played that you're playing against. That's not, to me, that's not reliable. The analytics aren't reliable there.
I agree. And the Miami one is tough. That matchup is tough just because Miami has literally played nobody, you know? At least Florida State has played some opponents that we generally respect, in Alabama, obviously, and then NC State, right? But Miami has played Toledo, which not quite sure what to do with that. Toledo's a pretty good group of 5, and they let Toledo score, 34 points. But Miami's played Toledo and Bethune-Cookman. That's all we have to judge Miami by.
Right.
So that's why that game... I'm struggling.
Who knows?
I'm struggling a bit.
Who knows? What about for last week? Let's briefly go over. We've gone over, I think, all of them in some way, but we haven't mentioned in great detail. How far did we get on this list?
We talked about Florida, Kentucky, because I had to tell everybody that Kentucky was dead to me and all that.
That's correct.
Let me ask you this. Mississippi State, Georgia. You picked Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But were you surprised?
I was not surprised that Georgia won. I was surprised that Mississippi State's offense went from 37 points to 3 in 1 week.
That's another one. Even with Mississippi State, who has played some decent opponents, I still have no idea who they are.
Georgia had better players than Mississippi State did throughout. I thought Mississippi State was better coached, but coming off a big win, it's hard for a team that doesn't have better players to go on the road and win again. It's human nature. It's sort of like the Boston College game where people expect Clemson to go win 50-3. Sometimes you're going to have, like, everybody has a 12th best game. At some point in the year, you're going to play your worst game. At some point. You're probably not going to play your 2 best games back to back. That's just the way it goes. You're not going to match your best performance in the next game. And I do believe that when we look back at Mississippi State's season, we will say that that LSU game is probably as well as they can play.
That's fair. So then how do I take that knowledge and apply it to this week? Because it is difficult to come off, like you said, maybe your worst game of the year and play well enough to beat Auburn at Auburn. But we've seen what they're capable of doing against LSU, specifically slowing down Darius Geis. So I just don't know. Like, will the real Mississippi State please stand up? I have no idea who they are.
I don't know exactly who Mississippi State. I don't know exactly who Auburn is either.
Because well, that's true.
I think Missouri is terrible.
But Auburn very well, from reports we're seeing, could have obviously Kerryon Johnson, who played last week,
right,
and Pettway back. So yeah, they could have both Johnson and Pettway. If they have both of those guys, I feel like I got to go with Auburn.
Auburn's defense at home against Mississippi State is going to resemble more of what Georgia did defensively. And I think if you had this is a product of schedule, where if you had a couple of weeks to get better and improve on things after the way the offense was destroyed by Georgia, it'd be one thing. But you've got to turn right around, and without another game to work out some of the kinks, you've got to take a team into Auburn that's not going to have the... Think about how difficult it was for Clemson's offense to move the ball against Auburn. You think Clemson's better than Mississippi State? I think Mississippi State at quarterback is probably a little better than Clemson right now with Fitzgerald against Kelly Bryant. But in terms of the skill players around and maybe even offensive lines, I would imagine Clemson's got better personnel than Mississippi State does going up against Auburn's defense, and you got to go to Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that going well. And then you go from LSU, where they only scored 7 and couldn't move the ball, to Georgia moving the ball, tremendously well against Mississippi State and doing a lot, managing the game, that kind of stuff. I feel like this matchup is very similar in that regard for Mississippi State. So I'm not bullish about the Bulldogs going to Auburn this week.
Bullish about the Bulldogs.
Bullish about the Dogs.
The one thing about Mississippi State is when they looked at their schedule to begin the year, when they saw the gauntlet of LSU at Georgia at Auburn, realistically, they probably thought if we can get out of that 1-2, we'll be okay.
Yep.
So even if they do lose to Auburn, they got BYU next, they get Kentucky at home, they get A&M, and then UMass. They can really get right back on the right track. Got to play Bama, but then you have Arkansas and Ole Miss. They can still have the kind of season they want to have. I think when you looked at that gauntlet, if you were realistic in Starksville, you were probably saying, 1-2, let's get out of there with at least a win, and we'll be okay.
One thing I really like about FPI is the game-by-game projections. They only project Mississippi State to lose twice more this season.
Bama and
Auburn this
and Auburn.
Weekend.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think they could very well end up 8 wins. Nice little bowl.
I mean, if they only lose the games that they're supposed to lose right now, they'll be 9-3.
There you go.
9-3, and then if they drop one, let's say at A&M or at Arkansas, I mean, you're talking about an 8-4 football team that was supposed to be 6-6.
What about, real quick before we get to top of the hour, Washington, Colorado, any thoughts on that one?
I think Colorado has regressed a little bit in personnel. No Jim Leavitt on defense. Washington is still very good. And crisp. There aren't many teams that are automatic on the road. Washington is virtually automatic on the road. They just play so well away from home. You just got to take them. That game was easy for me because of how Washington is and how Peterson is with the team going on the road.
One thing about that game is Washington really beat Colorado on the ground. Jake Browning did not beat Colorado. Gaskin did, and really, really Gaskin, and the rest of their running attack. So that's why I'm intrigued with Colorado-UCLA. Because if Colorado can... Now, Browning only threw the ball 21 times. Rosen will throw the ball twice that, I assume. But if they can be pretty good against Rosen, we know UCLA has no rushing attack. None. So I'm thinking about it. It's tough because UCLA is 2-0 at home. They did lose to Stanford last week, so they are reeling. And Colorado didn't look great against Washington. But I'm not saying Colorado can't go to UCLA and win.
Well, another big part of this for Colorado was the fact that they threw 6 incomplete passes with the starting quarterback Montez, and 3 of them were intercepted.
Right.
You've got to be better about throwing the ball away or something. Like, you can't turn it over that many times against good teams. In my opinion, if you go 21-27 against UCLA, you're not going to have thrown 3 picks. So if I'm Colorado, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel, but they gave up some scoring opportunities to a defense that was less good down-to-down and more opportunistic against the pass.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm leaning a bit towards the Buffs. We'll get to our picks in a second later on in the show. Penn State, Iowa. I thought that was an impressive win for Penn State. Just because Iowa wasn't ranked, I wasn't unimpressed. I thought winning at Iowa is never negligible. That is a tough place to win. Iowa always plays you tough. And I thought Saquon Barkley was impressive. And McSorley didn't have his best game, but they still found a way to win.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the best play I saw all week, the best individual
when
play
he
was
defied
a Barkley.
Gravity and physics.
Yeah, the Barkley play. I thought the most clutch play I saw all week was a McSorley pass where he threw it over the top of the defender and threw it off his back foot to a receiver toward the back of the end zone. Two guys crossing each other. He threw it to the right guy in the right spot with like no time on the clock.
That was that receiver's first touchdown pass of his career. First touchdown catch.
And by the way,
which is pretty cool.
I can't understand the people trying to compare McSorley to Baker Mayfield. Like, Baker Mayfield legitimately took minutes and like planted a flag on the field. This guy went from losing a game to winning a game with a back foot throw to the back of the end zone in a seam that was about yay big.
A good opponent, not Baylor, Baker.
And on the next snap, just a minute later, punted the ball. I'm good with it. Hour two is next.